would like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. I'd like to read from Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. And just as the verse that we tried to study this morning, I'm sure is very familiar to you all, I'm sure that the verse tonight also is very familiar to you, and yet I always feel like we have to study that portion of God's Word that I feel God's Holy Spirit is leading us to. And just pray that God will help us, that we would think about the Word of God and think about the portion of God's Word that we're going to try to look at tonight. In Proverbs chapter 18, I would like to read verse 24. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. The Word of God says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Before we begin to try to study from the Word of God, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to assemble together in thy house this night. Thank you for the freedom that we have. Thank you for the desire that we have to come together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the felt presence of your Holy Spirit this day. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that have been ours during this past week. Thank you, Lord, for the miraculous ways you've worked and for the things that you've done to manifest your power in a very special way. Thank you, Lord, for those that are here tonight. Thank you for the special effort that they put forth to be in the house of God. Lord, we pray that you would help us as we've assembled together tonight, that we would hear the Word of God, that we would be doers of thy words, that we would always be mindful of how important it is to be a friend to others. We pray that you would help us as we study this verse of Scripture, that we would realize more and more what a privilege it is to be called the children of God, not only to have friends in the flesh, but to have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What a friend we have in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of life. Thank you for the felt presence of your Spirit this morning and all during this past week. Thank you, Lord, for knowing that you're going to be with us during this coming week. We pray that you would guide us and direct us all. We beg thy blessings upon all those that are on the prayer list and those that have been mentioned of tonight audibly, and those that stand in great need of thy help, Lord. We pray that you would help them, but we pray that you would help us to bear one another's burdens, to call them and send cards and to visit with them and do all that we can to lift up the hands of those that are feeble and cast down. We do beg thy blessings upon those that are having special problems and burdens. Pray that you would bind the families back together with thy love, that you would help them as you alone are able to do. Again now, help us as we try to study thy holy word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The first half of the verse that I just read says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." And that's the first thing I wanted to think about tonight. The Word of God says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." That is, you have to be a friendly person. You have to be a friend to others if you really want to have friends in your life. What does it mean to be a friend? I jotted down the Strong's Concordance definition of friend. And there are several different things that it says. One of the statements is, and there are a lot of different ways you might define what is a friend. One of the ways is a close associate. The Bible talks about those that are our chief friends. That is, they're way above. You may have a lot of just general friends, a lot of people that you call a friend, but then there are those that the Bible calls a chief friend, and that's somebody that you feel especially close to. It's somebody that you love in a very special way. And we need to pray that God will help us to have friends. You know, one of the greatest blessings in the world is to have a lot of friends, isn't it? Do you know some people that have a lot of friends? I'm talking about real friends, talking about true friends. Do you know some people that it just seems like that they have a lot of people that really love them? Well, anytime that you find somebody that has, and I'm not talking about worldly friends, because the Word of God makes it plain that we are not to be friends with the world. In fact, if we are a friend of the world, then we're an enemy of God. So always be careful that you understand you're not to be a friend of the world. But the brothers and sisters in Christ, children of God, people who love God and love the way of God and love the Word of God, we ought to develop close friendships with those that love Christ. Christ is the greatest friend that you'll ever have. That songwriter that wrote, "What a friend we have in Jesus," he knew what a great friend that Jesus is. But we have many other friends besides Jesus. If we are a Christian, and if we're walking like God would have us to walk, we'll have many friends. Jesus will always be the best friend that we ever have, but we can have a lot of other friends, a lot of close associates. Another statement is that they are a companion. Now, can your wife or your husband, can that person also be your friend? Certainly it is. In fact, I would say that my best friend on this earth is my wife. She's the besides Jesus Christ. In fact, I just don't think we can realize how wonderful it is to have good friends. And I want to impress that on your hearts tonight is that we need to thank God for the friends that we have. But I want us to remember that sometimes we want people to be a friend to us. This verse is not saying that we have people that are doing things for us and therefore they are our friends. But it says a man that will have friends must show himself friendly. That is, you have to be a friend to a lot of other people. You have to do things for people. You have to show people that you love them. And the more people that you show that you love, and the more people that you are a friend to them, the more friends that you will have that will help take care of you. So a man that will have friends must show himself friendly. And again, I just want to reemphasize that you need to be careful about the friends that you choose. Is that just young people that need to be careful? Do these teenagers need to be careful about the friends that they choose? Do little children need to be careful? I would tell all of you parents that it is your responsibility that you be sure that your children choose the right kind of friends. If your children are going around with the wrong kind of friends, that's the parents' fault, because it is your job as a parent to be sure that the only friends your children have are people that are loving God and trying to fear God and serve God. Does that mean you can't be nice to somebody that's not living right? No, you can be nice to them, but you're not to have them as an intimate friend. What the Word of God defines as a friend, you're not to have someone as a friend that is not loving God, fearing God, and trying to serve God. You're not to have intimate fellowship. You're not to have close companionship with somebody that doesn't love God. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." We're not to be a part of the world. We're not to have the world and worldly-minded people as our friends. The Word of God teaches that we, as the people of God, we're not supposed to be friends with the world. But we ought to be friends one to another. There ought to be a close kindred. I believe that one of the greatest blessings in the church is we ought to be good friends to each other. I believe that all of us in the church and all of the brothers and sisters in Christ that we meet, I believe that we ought to be good friends to each other. And we ought to, what does the text say here? A man that hath friends must what? Must show himself friendly. So, if I want to have friends, one thing I need to understand is I need to be out being a friend to other people. And the more that I am a friend to other people, the more friends that I will have in my life. Now, go with me. If you were going to talk about what a person must do, and let me just back up just a minute and notice Proverbs chapter 13. Back up in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, because I want you to be sure that you understand the kind of friends that you're supposed to have. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, the Word of God talks about two different kinds of people that we might be friends to, and he says that he makes it clear that there's one kind we ought not to be friends with, and there's another kind we ought to be friends with. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, the Word of God says, "He that walketh with wise men," that walketh with wise men It's talking about close fellowship, close companionship. It's talking about a friend. He that will have a wise man as a friend shall what? Shall be wise. And then he says, but a companion or a friend of fools shall be destroyed. So does it make a difference what kind of friends you choose? If you choose friends that are wise, if you choose friends that love the Lord, that's the kind of friends you ought to have. If you choose wise friends, you'll be wise. But if you're a companion of fools, you'll be destroyed. Now, we need to pray that God will help us to be a friend to those that we're around. Listen in Proverbs chapter 17 now. Look at Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17. The Word of God talks here about a friend and says this. In Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17, the Word of God says, a friend loveth at all times. A friend loveth at all times. How many of you have had friends that... How many friends do you have? Let me rephrase that. How many friends do you have? I'm talking about close friends. Do you have today that have been your friends for, I'm going to first say, for 25 years or longer? How many of you, and some of you are not even 25 years old, so you certainly couldn't fit into that category, but how many of you have had friends? How many of you have some friends now that have been your friends for 25 years or longer? And they're still your friends. Okay, how many of you have had friends for 5 years or longer? How many of you have had friends that you've had them for 5 years or longer? Okay, now, you need to hold on to those. If they're godly people, listen carefully. If they're godly people, you need to do everything you can to hold on to your friends. You need to do everything you can to strengthen that friendship. You need to do everything you can to establish more friends. And the only way you'll establish more friends is what? A man that will have friends must what? Must show himself friendly. You're going to have to be out doing some things. And he says here in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. Are there times that you don't love people? How many of you have ever heard of a fair weather friend? A fair weather friend. What does that mean, Brother Terry? What do you think that expression means, a fair weather friend? That's right. They're friends as long as everything is going good, as long as you don't have trouble, as long as you don't have needs, as long as you're not sick and need help, as long as you're on the giving end instead of the receiving end, then they'll be your friend. But whenever you begin to have troubles and problems, whether it's financial problems or sickness or whatever it is, there are some people that will abandon you when you have trouble in your life. And this Word of God says, this part of the Word of God says, a friend, a real friend, a scriptural friend, a godly friend, what does the Word of God say here? A friend loveth at all times. It's not a fair weather friend. It's not a worldly friend. A good Christian friend loves at all times. They'll love you through thick and thin. They'll love you in spite of all the troubles and all problems that you have in your life. They're going to keep on loving you and they're going to show love to you. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. When is the time that you need friends the most? When is the time you need friends the most? When you're having troubles. Well, Ken, you're getting kind of old, Ken Sylvester. Are you going to need more friends as you get older? You don't think so? Well, I think you're going to need more friends. Okay, you explain what you mean, then I'll explain what I mean.
There's three kinds of friends.
Okay, there's three kinds of friends.
Pluses, minuses, and zeros.
Okay. Does everybody understand what Brother Ken's saying? We've had this discussion before. Pluses, minuses, and zeros. Okay? Have you ever had a friend like that, that every time you're around them, instead of you being better, you're worse off than when you were with them? Those are minus friends. Those are negative friends. Go to a zero friend, and they'll drag you down in your life. All right, a zero friend. Just all kind of balances out. Well, what we're trying to talk about tonight is plus friends. We're talking about the best friends you can ever have in your life. We're talking about friends that if in the middle of the night you can call them and they will come right then. They won't ask questions. They'll be right there. Anytime that you need help, you can call on them and you know you can depend on them. They're coming. That's the kind of friends. They're plus friends. And they're friends that won't just come one night. They'll come every night. They'll come as often as you need them. And as long as you need them, they're going to be there through thick and thin. In spite of the problems and troubles of life, they're always going to be there. Those plus friends that Brother Ken described, that's the kind of friends that we're talking about. And a man that will have plus friends must show himself friendly. That is, you've got to be a plus friend if you want plus friends in your life. If you want great friends, if you want true friends, if you want chief friends in your life, you're going to have to be a true friend and a chief friend to other people. How many of you think you fall short in the area of you being a friend to other people? How many of you think you fall short in being a friend? I believe that the Bible tells us a lot of different ways that we can be a friend, a lot of different things we can do to be a friend. You know, I don't put a lot of stock in people that just tell me all the time, I love you. I put less stock in people that just say, I'm going to pray for you. You know what I mean? This idea of, and I think that we as Christians and church-going people, we really get caught up in this idea of, I'm going to pray for you. And we use that as a cop-out most of the time to not do anything else. We say, I'm going to pray for you. Now, if you're really praying for somebody, that's wonderful and that's good. If you're praying for them, if you're fervently praying for them, if you're sincerely praying for them, that certainly ought to be done. But that ought not to be all you do. And if you're a plus friend, that's not going to be all you do. You will pray fervently for your plus friend, but you also will do a lot more and you'll do everything else you can think of to be helping your plus friends. You'll be a plus friend if you're going to have plus friends. Look at Proverbs chapter 27 just a minute. Proverbs chapter 27. The Word of God here tells us something else about a friend. And you can look at this in two different ways. I know that there are some that understand this one way and some understand it another. But in Proverbs chapter 27, Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17, the Word of God says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Now, when you think about iron sharpening iron, how many of you have ever seen a butcher that'll take a sharpening steel, a steel rod, and he'll take a knife and he'll sit there and he'll... Have you ever seen them sharpen a knife with that iron? That's iron sharpening iron, or steel sharpening steel. You rub them against each other. You rub one against another, and as you keep rubbing them against each other, it's that friction and rubbing against each other that sharpens the knife. Now listen, brethren, close friends can be so close. This is what I understand this to mean. Close friends can be so close that when a friend or when a friendship gets dull, that friend's going to go to them and start working with them and talking to them and confronting them about things that are wrong in their lives. Is there going to be some friction there when they talk to them about what they're doing wrong in their life? Will there be friction? But what's the whole intent and purpose of iron sharpening iron? What's the intent and purpose? The intent and purpose is to make that other piece sharp, to make it good. And as iron sharpeneth iron, so, the Word of God says here, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Now, when you sharpen the countenance of your friend, if Brother John is depressed and discouraged, I might go to him and talk to him and work with him, and I might offend him in talking with him, but what's going to be the eventual outcome of that communication and that working and that laboring with him? If I'm his friend and he's my friend, are we going to just keep working at it, or is he just going to get mad and that be the end of our friendship? If he's my friend and I'm his friend, and he's having a problem, I might go to him and I might work with him, or he might work with me, and there may be some friction to correct whatever problems are in my life or his life, but eventually what's going to happen? The countenance of my friend is going to be sharpened. It's going to be better. As iron sharpeneth iron, so, the Word of God says here, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. What does it mean to sharpen someone's countenance? Brother Mike, if I sharpen your countenance, what am I doing? Is your countenance improving? Or yes, your countenance. What does it mean, your countenance? It means your appearance, your physical appearance. You're going to, instead of your jaw dragging the ground, you're going to begin to be happy. You're going to begin to rejoice. And what is it that will help you be able to rejoice? It's you walking closer to God. And so if I see you not happy, one of the things I need to do is try to work with you and labor with you to try to figure out what it is that's interfering with your fellowship with God. What is it that's causing your countenance to be cast down? What is it that's causing your soul to be cast down? And if you love your brothers and sisters in Christ, when you see one that's beginning to stray from the way of God and the Word of God, and you know that they're going downhill, and you can tell their countenance is not what it ought to be, what are you going to be doing? You're going to go to that friend, you're going to work with him. Why? Because you love that friend too much to let them go down the tubes without doing everything you can to correct them. And that'll be iron sharpening iron. And as iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Now go with me to Ecclesiastes. I want you to think about one of the great blessings of a friend. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, the Word of God talks about the reason, one of the reasons that we need friends. Here's one of the many reasons that we need friends in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Right after we're in Proverbs, the very next book in the Bible is Ecclesiastes. Right after Proverbs, just go 6 or 8 pages past where we're presently reading to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting in verse 9. How many of you have ever been alone? How many of you have ever felt completely alone in the midst of your troubles and problems? Have you ever felt like you were just totally alone and that nobody cared? Melissa, when she was a little girl, she used to sing this song. Of course, she was just teasing, I hope, but she would sing, "Nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I think I'll eat some worms." That was part of the little song that she sang. But do you ever sometimes really feel that way? Have you ever felt that way in your life? Not just a little funny song, but have you ever felt in your life, "Nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I think I'll eat some worms"? Well, listen, brethren, you need to understand how much you need friends in that hour. And in order for you to have friends, what do you have to do? From Proverbs 18:24, a man that will have friends must what? He must show himself friendly. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, listen, beginning in verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9, the Word of God says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall," that is, if one falls down, "the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." What's he saying? Sometimes in our lives we fall down. If I fall down, I need you to come help get me back up. If you fall down, I need to be there to help you get back up. God's children sometimes do fall down and sometimes do backslide. And when one falls down or is falling away or is backsliding, we need to work with that brother to try to restore him. Because woe to that man that's alone when he falleth. And then in verse 11 it says again, "If two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Let me just ask you right now, can you tell me anybody in the Bible, can you think of any two people in the Bible that you know the Word of God makes it clear? Now, those two people were very, very, very chief friends. They were very good friends. Okay, Sister Cheryl, name one. David and Jonathan. Probably in all the Bible, there probably were not any two people closer than David and Jonathan. Did David do for Jonathan? Did David love Jonathan? Yes, he did. Did Jonathan do for David? They did for each other. And let me mention this. Friendship, true friendship, is not going to be a one-way street. True friendship is not you doing for me, you doing for me, you doing for me. It's going to be you doing for me and me doing for you. It's back and forth in our lives. That's what true friendship is all about. It may not be doing the same thing, but in different ways we help each other. In different capacities we have different abilities and we help each other in different ways. Jonathan and David were two men that were as close as they could be. In fact, the Word of God says that their love for each other was greater than a man's love for a woman. Isn't that a marvelous love? And listen, brethren, they weren't queers. They weren't homosexuals. Amen. They were two men of God that both loved God with all their heart, but they loved each other. Their souls were knit together. They were one in their intimate, close friendship to each other. They knew they could depend on each other. You and I need that kind of friends in our lives. Who's someone else that you know? Two other people, any two people, Sister Janice? Ruth and Naomi. Now, I want you to what I want to try to do, and this is working out exactly like I wanted it to. I wanted to show you two men that can be friends. And now we're looking at two women that were friends, Ruth and Naomi, but we're also looking here at a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. Now, isn't that amazing that a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law could be as close as Ruth and Naomi were? Ruth and Naomi actually, I think, were closer than Ruth was probably or possibly to her own husband. But Ruth loved Naomi and sacrificed everything she had. Was Ruth a friend to Naomi? Indeed she was. Was Naomi a friend to Ruth? They were great friends to each other. They sharpened the countenance of each other. When one was cast down, the other one lifted up, and vice versa. And one provided for the other, and the other one provided back for them. And their whole life, as long as both of them were alive, they were good friends, and they helped take care of each other. Can you think of anyone else that were outstanding friends in the Bible? Well, the Bible talks about a lot of them. I'm not going to talk about all of them. I just want to close, but I want you to think about the Apostle Paul. Did Paul have some great friends? Who was Paul's greatest friend? Brother Rich, who do you think was Paul's? I'm not talking about Jesus now. I'm talking about other than Jesus. Who do you think was Paul's best friend? I think probably Timothy, my son Timothy. It could have been Timothy. Do you think of anybody else?
Silas.
Okay, Paul and Silas, they were together. They were in prison together. They were beaten together. Anyone else? Okay, well, they were good friends. I'm just talking about with Paul right now. Paul and Barnabas, I think they listen, here's what I wanted to lead up to. Okay, Paul and who?
Apollos.
Okay, all right, Paul and Apollos. Everyone that you've mentioned were probably people. Here's what I want to lead up to tonight. If Paul was identifying his best friends, he might have listed Timothy at the top. He might have listed Silas. He might have listed Barnabas. He might have listed Apollos. He might have listed anyone else you can think of. But here's what I've never really noticed until really just before church time tonight and thinking and meditating and studying on this. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 16 just a minute. We'll close right here in Romans chapter 16. We're not going to get to Jesus being our friend. That's the greatest friend of all. But I want you to notice in Romans chapter 16, you know, sometimes I wonder why there's so much repetition. There are some times when I'm reading the Word of God that I get to a long series of verses, like here in Romans chapter 16, and I get to a long series of verses where it says, greet this person, and greet this person, and greet this person. Brother John, what do you think I do when I get to about verse? I skip from there all the way down. I just go right through all that. Well, here's the beauty of all that. You know what Paul is doing here? What Paul is doing, I believe, is showing us how many friends he had. You look at this now. In Romans chapter 16, I want you to follow what he does. In Romans chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. He says, and he's writing to the church at Rome, the saints of God at Rome. He says, I commend you to Phoebe. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Now, was Phoebe his sister in Christ? Was Phoebe also his friend? Was she a very dear friend? These sisters in the church, you think they're dear friends to me? You think they mean a lot to me? Think Sister Jane, you think all... I don't know of a sister in this church that doesn't mean a lot to me. You know why? Do you know why they're friends to me? Brother Rich, why do you think they're friends to me?
Always there for you.
Always there. Always there. Always working. Always laboring. And not just for me, but working for the cause of Christ. And that's what Paul's going to do here. He says, now, I want to commend unto you Phoebe. I want you to notice what it says. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a, what's the next word? A servant. Was she being a friend to Paul and to all the other people? She is a servant of the church. You see what she is? Was she being a friend to a lot of different people? His sister, can't think of your name, Sister Maggie's daughter, Sister Nina. Is Sister Nina, is she a friend? Do you think Sister Nina is a friend? Sister Dorothy, is Sister Nina your friend? Yes, she is. Sister Laura, do you have some friends? A few, that's right. We have some friends. Dear friends, Phoebe was a sister in the church that was a servant to the whole church, just doing things for other people. You think a lot of people love Phoebe? Now, she was a servant to the church. But a lot of people love Phoebe, and Paul considered her a very good friend. Look at verse 2. That you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many. What does that mean? She has been a succorer of many. A helper to many people. She's been a help. Has she been a friend to many people? Has she been there when they needed him? She's been a succorer of many and of myself also. See what Paul's saying? She's helped the church. She's helped a lot of people. She's helped me. She's been a friend to me. Now I want you to all help take care of Phoebe. Verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks. Do you see what kind of friends these are that Paul has right here? He's talking about a woman that was an outstanding friend. Now he talks about Priscilla and Aquila. He says, my helpers in Christ, they laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. All the churches of the Gentiles thank God for these two people that he mentions in verse 3. Do you see that? Do you see what he's doing here? He's going through and says, now, this is my friend. And this is a friend to all the people out there, all the other Christians. And then he says, and this is my friend. She's done a lot for me, but she's done a lot for all the other people. And then he says, and this is my friend. And that's what he does. Come down to verse 6. Verse 6 says, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. What was she doing? Was she a plus, minus, or zero friend, Brother Ken? She was an A plus. She was very good. Come down to verse 9. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. Come down to verse 12. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. You see what he's doing? Now, all the times before, it was just, Salute this person. But now what I see is Paul saying, look at all these wonderful friends I have. Look at all these wonderful friends that the church has. Look at all these men and women who understand what Proverbs 18:24 says when it says, he that will have friends, a man that will have friends, must what? Show himself friendly. You know what this is right here? It's the friendly list. It's the list of people who understood what it means to be a friend to other people. If God was listing the friends in this church, if he was to say, now there's a friend of mine because he's helping take care of my little lambs. You think the Lord would say Robbie's a friend of the Lord, of the Lord now? Why would God say that Robbie's a friend of the Lord? Say it again. You know, I watched him today fix his plate. And I'm not saying I can go across this congregation. I can say you. I want you to think about this. Brother Robbie was one of the last ones to fix his plate today. He fixed his plate. He started to eat his chicken. First piece of food. He looked over there and Sister Stalvey needed help eating. He got up and he went over there. And he sat there and he fed Sister Stalvey. And I watched a lot of other people fixing plates for them. But I watched other people that went over there and fed those elderly people that couldn't feed themselves. They sat there and fed those people before they fed themselves. Is there a big difference in the people that want to be first in line and grab food for themselves and squat down and eat the food, and those people that want to be a friend to other people? I hope God will help every one of us to begin to be a friend to others. To really want to be a friend and not just want friends. To understand the principle, if I want friends, I've got to be a friend. May God help us to understand this truth and have it impressed on our hearts and minds tonight is my prayer for Christ's sake.